The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." We enjoy celebrating certain days of the year that commemorate and remember great people, great events in history. And today is Mother's Day. And when we look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, we notice that there's a promise that God has made here in reference to honoring your father and mother. And he said that if you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life full of blessing. And that is the first of the Ten Commandments that has a promise like this associated with it, which seems to underscore the importance in the mind of God of this principle of being committed to honoring our parents, and how that's going to result in long life and a happy life for us when we respect and honor our parents. You know, Mother's Day was begun in 1914 here in our country. President Woodrow Wilson signed it as a day to display the flag and to honor mothers everywhere. And it was especially noted in honor of Anna Jarvis, a woman that had earned a reputation as a wonderful mother during the days of the Civil War, organizing mothers and helping them to be involved in acts of service. And it was her daughter who petitioned Congress to make a day of Mother's Day, and it was signed into law that it would be the first Sunday in May every year from that time forward. And so we celebrate Mother's Day today. But it ought to be a day that we honor our mothers throughout the year, not just on this one day of the year. But we do want to acknowledge our mothers today and let you know how much we appreciate all of you, all the work that you do. And I really appreciate, John, what you said about your mother and what the young mothers today are doing. And I've really been blessed in my life too. My mother was such a godly example in my life, and her presence in our home, I can't tell you how much that meant to have a godly mother that I knew loved me and prayed for me and encouraged me throughout my life. And there was one summer when I was about 14 years old that my mother was finishing her college degree that summer so she could become a school teacher. And that had been her life plan, to eventually teach school. She was needing one more semester, but she had made the commitment that she would not begin teaching until my youngest sister was old enough to enter school. And so that she was gone from home that summer with my two sisters for 3 months. And believe me, that our home was not the same. We never experienced that before, what it was like to not have your mother there. And we were all just depressed, my two brothers and I. And so we were never so happy when the day came that we rode the Greyhound bus from our home in West Texas to Denton, Texas, and were reunited with our mother. And I was blessed, of course, to marry such a wonderful young woman, Karen, and to see how she was so unselfish and giving of her life in the raising of our four daughters and her example in their life and training and teaching them. And then now to see my four daughters, the mothers they have become, enjoying and doing such a wonderful job raising their children. So, honoring your mother is something that's very personal to me. It means a great deal in my life. And when we think about honoring your mother, why did God command this of us? Is a question that we might wonder. Why does God tell us to honor our mothers and our fathers? Honor our father and mother, and why does He make a special point of this? We realize that every parent is imperfect, that there are no perfect parents, and sometimes people struggle with this command because they have maybe had a parent who abandoned them or maybe was not a godly person. And it is more difficult for someone in that condition to be able to honor their parent. We need to keep in mind that every parent is imperfect, that there is no perfect parents here on this earth. And that in Luke 11 and verse 13, Jesus said that if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I think He makes a good point here that we as parents, we are sinful people. We are not perfect. And yet, we know how to give good things to our children. So, why does God teach us to honor our parents, honor our mother specifically, when she may not have been a perfect person, and she certainly is not? But the answer to me would be, I would not exist without my parents. None of us would exist if it weren't for our parents. They brought us into the world. And Bill Cosby once said, and I can take you out too. But we remember our parents, we honor them from the standpoint that we would not be here if it were not for our parents. And God chose them that their DNA was used to form each one of us. When we read in Psalm 139 and verse 13, David said, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So each one of us is unique. Each one of us is, there is no other person like you in this world. You are fashioned by God as a unique individual. And God used the DNA of your father and your mother to create you. So that is another reason why we should honor them. And we should remember them. Even though they may have been imperfect in some ways, we still need to honor our parents. Today we do honor our parents today. And I'm thinking of different types of mothers. Their birth mothers, their adopted mothers, there are foster moms, and there are stepmoms, and we want to honor all of you for what you do for your families and encourage you in that and let you know that what you do, you're appreciated for that. How do we honor our mother? I want to think about that for a few minutes now in the lesson this morning. How do we honor our mother? The Bible says there in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." How do we do this? And first of all, as a child, we honor our mother by obeying her. We honor her by obeying her. And God has given our parents to us as to be as a place of authority in our lives at that time, that we would learn to obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that is what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I believe this is when we are young, when we are living in the home with our parents, and our mother is oftentimes the one who is there with us in the daytime. God teaches us to honor and to obey our mother. We're told in Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father," and he says, "do not forsake the law of your mother." So, as a father often will go to work, the mother is in charge of the home. She is the authority there at home, and a child is to obey her, just as he is to obey his father. And in Proverbs 13, verse 24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." And so a mother is given the right or the responsibility to discipline her children. And we're told that she loves her children when she disciplines them wisely, as the Lord would have her to train them up, to teach them right from wrong. And failing in that, a mother is doing a disservice to a child of putting him into the world without that training of guidance, of knowing right from wrong, and of being corrected when they need correction. I'd like to read you a little thing here that was written back in 1965. So it goes back a few years. But it's called "The Meanest Mother." And said, "We had the meanest mother in the world. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, we had to have cereal, eggs, and toast. When others had Pepsi and Twinkies for lunch, we had to eat sandwiches. And you can guess our mother fixed us a dinner that was different from what other kids had too. My mother insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we were convicts in a prison. She had to know who our friends were and what we were doing with them. She insisted that if we said we would be gone for an hour, we would be gone for an hour or less. We were ashamed to admit it, but she had the nerve to break the child labor laws by making us work. We had to wash dishes, make the beds, learn to cook, vacuum the floor, do laundry, and all sorts of cruel jobs. I think she would lie awake at night thinking of more things for us to do. She always insisted on us telling the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And by the time we were teenagers, she could read our minds. Then life was really tough. Mother wouldn't let our friends just honk the horn when they drove up. They had to come up to the door so she could meet them. While everyone else could date when they were 12 or 13, we had to wait until we were 16. Because of our mother, we missed out on lots of other things other kids experienced. Now that I look back, none of us have ever been caught shoplifting, vandalizing other people's property, or ever arrested for any crime. It was all her fault, I suppose. We never got drunk, took up smoking, stayed out all night, or a million other things other kids did. Now that we have left home, we are all God-fearing, educated, honest adults. We're doing our best to be mean parents just like Mom was. I think that is what's wrong with the world today. It just doesn't have enough mean moms anymore. I like that. So how do we honor our mother? First of all, by obeying her. As a young adult, we obey our mother, we honor our mother by respecting her. By respecting her. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3 says, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." And then we find in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, furthermore, he said, "We have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? We see here the principle that we are to respect our parents. We're to revere our parents. And that doesn't end when we go into teenage years or grow into adulthood. We still are to respect our parents. But we honor our parents by listening to her also. In Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. There is an interesting way of putting that in the translation is known as the Message. He said that intelligent children listen to their parents. Foolish children do their own thing. We need to listen to our parents. We find in Proverbs chapter 23 and 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. In Proverbs 6, 20 through 23, it says, my son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck when you roam. They will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You know, Merle Haggard, he wrote a song a few years ago. He just died a few weeks ago. But the title of it was Mama Tried. And in one of the verses, he said, I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried, Mama tried. Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves no one but me to blame, because Mama tried. So we need to listen to our mothers. The words that they teach us are things that we should keep within us all of our life and remember those things that our mother taught us. But then we honor our mother also by, as an adult, showing our appreciation for them as they get older in life. As we have our own families, we still need to show our appreciation to our mothers. In Proverbs 23, 22 again, he said, listen to your mother who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Chapter 23, verse 25, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. We see from that the life we live is a way that we honor our mother by living those things that they have tried to teach us. We show them honor and we make them bring them joy by living a life that they would be proud of. And so not only listening to them, but taking those things and putting them into practice in our lives and making them believing those truths and making them a part of our lives. Proverbs 31 and verse 28, her children rise up and all her and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Think about this, that we need to commend our mothers and let them know how much we appreciate the things that they have tried to teach us as we were growing up. And then we find that as an adult, we honor our mother by treating them with special care. And as they grow older, they may have special needs of assistance and support and things of this nature. When we look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. You know, we're blessed to be a part of the church, and we have all of these categories within the church as a family, and we need to learn to treat one another as we're told here, older women as mothers. They have a special right to be respected because of their age, because of their wisdom, because of the life that they have lived and things they have been through. We should treat all older women this way, the Bible tells us. And in 1 Timothy 5:8, he said, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." It shows that honoring your mother is a lifelong thing that we have a need to honor them in childhood, as we grow older in life, and as they grow into their older years. I'd like to close this morning by sharing a story that is a popular storybook for children. It's called I Love You Forever. It's written by a man that he and his wife lost their children in stillbirth. They were going to have two babies, and they died in stillbirth, and they were never able to have children. But as he was envisioning what it was like, he wrote a beautiful story about it. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The baby grew, and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old, and he ran all around the house. He pulled the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator. He took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. And sometimes his mother would say, "This kid's driving me crazy." But at nighttime, when that 2-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked over the side of his bed, and if he was sleeping, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The little boy grew, and he grew, and he grew, until he was 9 years old. And he never wanted to come in for dinner, he never wanted to take a bath, and when Grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at nighttime, when he was asleep, his mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked over the side of the bed, and if he was sleeping, she picked up her 9-year-old boy, rocked him back and forth, and while she rocked, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The boy grew and grew and grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends. He wore strange clothes. He listened to strange music. Sometimes the mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was sleeping, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked over the side of the bed, and if he was sleeping, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth. And she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." That teenager grew, and he grew and he grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and got a house across town, but sometimes on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. If all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, looked over the side of his bed. That great big man was really sleeping. She picked him up and rocked him back and forth. And while she rocked, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older. And one day she called up her son and said, "You better come see me because I'm very old and sick." So her son came to see her. And when he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She's saying, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. But she couldn't finish because she was too old and sick. So the son went to his mother and he picked her up. And he rocked her back and forth. And he sang this song, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy, you'll be. When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth. Back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. So today we do honor our mothers. Remember them. Some of them have passed away. But they still mean a lot to us, and we need to honor them and remember them forever. That mommy will always be our mommy. She'll always be. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation of Jesus who invites us to come to Him, we hope you'll respond this morning by obeying the gospel of Jesus. It's that gospel that causes godly mothers to grow into the beautiful mothers they are. It's their commitment to God, their commitment to Jesus, that helps them to shape their lives and be able to train their children in the ways that would be pleasing to the Lord. As the Ephesian writer there, Paul, says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We can't do that if we don't first make a commitment to the Lord ourselves in our life. And so today we invite you to come to Christ and give your life to Him, be baptized for the remission of sins while we together stand and sing.
756.